How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Mike Simpson here from KNX News in LA. What you're about to hear is an interview with somebody running for governor, but we're not in a studio. We're not under the bright lights. We're out grabbing beers because I wanted this to be more of a conversation, more of what I feel like we used to have when we'd say, maybe I don't support everything this politician does, but I'd grab a beer with him. So today, it's the former mayor of LA, one of the Democrats now running for governor, Antonio Villaraigosa.
I drink Modelo Oro, which is their light beer. Love it. I drink Corona Premier. Salud.
Salud.
Good to see you.
The first thing I wanted to know is kind of based on my whole premise for doing this. Sitting down, having beers with candidates. Why can't more people just talk politics and stay calm?
People are so fixated on their own view of the world that they can't see another view. And I'm not talking about any specific person, but I come from a time when you could sit down and have a beer with somebody you don't agree with. You could go to a meal and have a discussion with people that you maybe don't agree with.
We sat down at Descanso. It's not too far from the station. I did ask him if he missed those days, and he said, yeah, I do. And then I wanted to know, why now? It's been 10-plus years since he left office, so why is he making this run? Why is he doing this?
Well, you know, I've said that I've been blessed with the California dream. But as great as our possibilities are, this is a state that's got big challenges ahead. We're the fourth largest economy in the world. We love to say that. What we don't say is we have the highest poverty rate in the United States.
Is it working for everybody?
It's not working for enough people. That's the problem. The economy works for the people at the top, but it's not working for a lot of people. I believe this affordability issue started under Democrats, frankly. We have the highest gas price in the United States, in no small part because we just made it impossible for refineries to exist. We have the second highest utility costs in the United States. They've gone up 60% in the last 6 years. And the second highest home prices.
You see, this is exactly why we're getting drinks, because, you know, it's a lot to tackle.
I may have two.
Let's go. We'll keep it going.
He mentioned refineries and regulations, and he mentioned the home prices. So what about home builders and regulations?
We make it impossible to build in this state. You know that our regulatory environment is broken. We need a streamlined permitting. We need to address a broken regulatory environment that allows you to sue from Phoenix for a project in Petaluma or Palm Springs. You can sue, you know, our environmental laws say you can sue for issues that have nothing to do with the environment. At the end of the day, we have broken zoning laws, red tape. If you look at the PPIC study, the Public Policy Institute of California, they did a study about regulations and red tape. And basically, to paraphrase, red states and blue states regulate about the same number of industries, interestingly enough. That was revealing. I would have thought we regulate more. But if a red state regulates 8 things in that industry, a purple state, let's say 25, a blue state, 50 or 75, California regulates 300. We regulate more than any state in the union. This is the toughest state to do business in the United States of America. And so that's why I'm running. I'm running out of record. As mayor, LA was the most violent big city in America when I became mayor. By the time I left with New York, it was one of the safest, the 48% drop in violent crime. The San Fernando Valley, the epicenter of the middle class here in LA, was talking about seceding from LA Unified. And as you know, 1 out of 3 schools were failing. By the time I left, a 60% increase in the graduation rate. We built more infrastructure, more light rail, that subway to the sea is coming. At the end of the day, as someone said, we had like 25% of all the cranes in the United States were here in LA. And then finally, in a city known for smog, number one American city in reducing carbon emissions, greenhouse gases, number five in the world. I'm running on a record of fixing things, and I believe that California needs some fixing.
So what happened? Because LA does not seem so great right now. How do you view how things are going? And I wonder, Karen Bass is one of the first people to endorse you, came right out, said this guy is our governor. She's not very popular right now.
Karen and I go back a very long time. I'm not running for mayor, I'm running for governor. Yes, let's accept responsibility. This state, every city, has seen better days. Let's work together across the aisle. Homelessness. I don't have to tell you how much homelessness, not just here in LA, but San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, San Diego, all throughout the state. We spent $24 billion from the state, and homelessness went up. Where did it go?
He says there have been audits. When there is fraud, you got to find it. You got to stop it. But something he says has been shown is that we really don't keep track of what works and what doesn't.
They couldn't document, except for two programs, what works. One of them was a renter assistance program, so people don't go homeless.
Keep you in your house.
Keep you in house. And the other one, I think, was temporary housing using motels. We should invest in what works, but not throw money at what doesn't. I believe that we shouldn't spend more than we got. I believe that if something's not working, we ought to try something else. And if something is working, we should double down on it. And ultimately, I think that people want the basics. They want schools that work. They want safe neighborhoods. They want healthcare that they can access. They want clean streets. It's not radical, not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's just something we want.
It's pragmatism, but I wonder in today's world, practical isn't sexy, practical doesn't go viral on the internet, so how do you win on practicality?
I think you win on common sense. I think a lot of people, they don't want to hear from people who have never done anything closely approximating the responsibilities that come with being governor of this state. I'm the only one that's been a chief executive, and whether people liked me or not, I was everybody's mayor. I was a uniter. And I think right now we need uniters. I think people, we ought to be able to have a beer. And not just have a beer, have a discussion. Mm-hmm. And agreement, find agreement where we can, and disagree. But when we disagree, listen to the other side and be open to maybe changing your mind.
So we talked about that. There's not a lot of crossing party lines, but why would a Republican take a look at you? And what should a disillusioned Democrat do?
No party has a monopoly on great ideas. I'm a Democrat, unabashedly. But I also know, as I said earlier, I don't think there are a whole lot of Democrats that'll say on this program, a big part of this affordability issue is on us.
Yeah.
Here's another example. We talk about homelessness. We love to say that we have so many mentally ill people on the streets of California. We love to say that we have so many mentally ill people on the streets of California because Ronald Reagan, 60 years?
It's been a long time since he closed the hospital.
He's been in office for 28 years. Why haven't we opened more locked mental institutions? What should I say to Republicans who believe that? Vote for me. Should they have court review? Absolutely. But when families, parents, brothers and sisters are trying to put a sibling...
When they're asking for it.
They're asking for it because they're a threat to themselves and others. And the judge says, no, hold it. It's something that it does resonate with people.
Is this fun? Are you having a good time? Because campaigning can be busy. Or did you miss this when you weren't doing it?
The fifth thing of the day. No, you know what? Look, I love people. I believe in service. I'd say that at the end of the day, what has been an issue for me is how few people are looking at this race. I think people are tired of the noise, of the screaming. I think they're looking for folks that are going to speak truth to power, which is why I'm willing to criticize, and take on Trump. But I tell people, you know what? Got to look in the mirror. Let's challenge the problems we created. Let's do it together. Let's fix these problems. Let's be accountable to the people. let's restore the notion of accountability and trust in government again.
If you win, we can do this again?
Yeah. We'll do it in the governor's office.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Again, we're doing this with the different candidates, so you can find them, knxnews.com, on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your audio.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.